This morning I want to address a subject that is basic, yet not as simple as you might think at first glance. What is a Christian? The definitions given in Webster's Ninth New Collegiate Dictionary demonstrate a wide range of possible answers. Here are some of the possibilities. Christian, noun, 1a, one who professes belief in the teachings of Jesus Christ. 1b, disciple. 2, a member of one of the churches of Christ separating from the disciples of Christ in 1906. B. 3. A member of the Christian denomination having part in the union of the United Church of Christ concluded in 1961. 2. The hero in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Christian. Adjective. 1a. Of or relating to Christianity, as in Christian scriptures. B. Based on or conforming with Christianity, as in Christian ethics. 2. Of or relating to a Christian, as in Christian responsibilities. B. Professing, as in Christian affirmation. 3. Commendably decent or generous, as in has a very Christian concern for others. Christianity. 1. The religion derived from Jesus Christ, based on the Bible as a sacred scripture, and professed by Eastern Roman Catholic and Protestant bodies. 2. Conformity to the Christian religion. Now, those definitions may sound good to some people, but they are so broad they can encompass people that fail to match the other definitions. For example, what do you call a person who professes belief in the teachings of Jesus, is involved with a religion derived from Jesus Christ, based on the Bible as a sacred scripture, but they do not believe Jesus was born of a virgin? They deny the miracles Jesus did, and they deny his deity. By Webster's definition, such a person would still be a Christian, but by the Bible's definition, they'd be apostates. Tragically, in many churches, such people are pastors and denominational leaders. The scriptures actually have warned of this. See 2 Timothy 3, 2 Peter 2, 1 John 2, 18 through 32, and chapter 4, 1 through 3. Now, what a person means when they say they are a Christian, then, depends on their definition. They may be trying to identify with a certain religion or a particular group, or they have grown up in a certain culture, or that they are not Muslims, Hindus, or Buddhists. However, the only definition that is really of any importance in the end is God's definition. Only God can define who really is and who really is not a true Christian. In order to know God's definition, we must understand his revelation of himself and his plan for mankind as found in the sacred scriptures, the Bible. Now, to many people, the Bible is a blank book. Either they have never read it at all, or they have not understood anything they have read. To them, the Bible might as well be a book full of blank pages. To others, they understand some of the broad teachings of the Bible, or they may even be able to tell you some of the stories in the Bible. But the Bible does not really make any difference in their life. They would be like a child's coloring book in which there are outlines of a picture, but there is no color, there is no life. That is not enough. God has revealed himself in the Bible so that we might know him and find a life in him. For those that truly seek God with all their heart, as Jeremiah 29:13 calls us to do, God will reveal himself. The Bible will become full color to you as it becomes alive to your soul. Well, what then is the Bible's definition of a Christian? The first time the word Christian occurs is in Acts 11:26, and he, that is Barnabas, left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The word Christian is transliterated from the Greek meaning Christ one or little Christ. Who is it then that the term applied to? Well, verse 26 plainly states it was the disciples. Who are these disciples and who are they disciples of? Well, verse 20 through 21 states that these are either Greeks or Hellenized Jews that have heard the gospel and are now believers in Jesus Christ. A disciple, by definition, is someone who follows the teachings of someone else in order to become like them. Luke 6:40 states this plainly. A pupil, or disciple, mathetes, is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Those who have heard the gospel and believed and are now followers of the teachings of Jesus Christ were first called Christians in Antioch. The term Christian was used by the Gentiles of Antioch to describe and label those who were following the teachings of Jesus and becoming like him, hence Christians, again meaning Christ ones or little Christ. Now, historically, it was not a term used by those who believed in Jesus. It was a term used in derision or ridicule of the followers of Jesus. The term is only used two other times in the Bible. In Acts 26:28, King Agrippa uses it in scorn, saying in response to Paul's presentation of the gospel, "In a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian." Tacitus, writing at the end of the first century, remarks that the vulgar, that is the common people, call them Christians. It is in the second century that those who were disciples of Christ began to use the term for themselves as a label of honor in keeping with what the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4:16 regarding how followers of Jesus Christ would respond to those that were persecuting them. He said, "If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God." What did these people call themselves, or how were they referred to prior to the term Christian being used? In the immediate context of Acts 11, the Christians of Antioch were called disciples. That is by far the most common term used to label those for whom we now refer to as Christians. The title is used 24 times in the book of Acts alone. For example, Acts 6:7, we find, "And the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith." Those who were obedient to the faith were called the disciples. In Acts 9:1, we find, "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest." The people Saul was looking for, searching for, were the disciples. In Acts 14, it tells the story of Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, with verse 21 stating, "And after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch." The disciples were those that responded to the preaching of the gospel. The early Christians were also referred to as a sect of Judaism called the Way. This term is used five times in the book of Acts. In Acts 24:14, when Paul is giving his defense before Governor Felix, he says, "But this I admit to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law, and that it is written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked." Now those who were followers of the way served the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they believed the Old Testament. They also believed in a coming resurrection based upon both the Old Testament and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts 9:1, we saw that Saul was searching for disciples to persecute. In verse 2, we find that he wanted letters of authority so, quote, "that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem," unquote. Now, those belonging to the way are synonymous with the disciples. The title "the way" is derived from the way to God. Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him, John 14:6. Those belonging to the way were those that believed that Jesus was the only way to God. What then is a Christian according to a biblical definition? A Christian is a person who believes the gospel of Jesus Christ and is his disciple. In other words, a Christian believes certain facts and in response to belief in those facts becomes a follower of the teachings of Jesus Christ. The early Christians were also called believers, Acts 5:14, 10:45, 1 Thessalonians 1:7, 2:10, and 1 Timothy 4:10 and 6:2. They're called believers because Jesus called upon them to believe in him, as like in John 3:16 and many other passages. What are the things that a Christian believes about Jesus? Well, let me list and explain nine beliefs common to all who are Christians by the biblical definition. And only those that meet the biblical definition are true Christians. Now, first, as already pointed out from Acts 24, Christians believe in the God of the Old Testament. The God of Paul's forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the eternal one that created everything that exists. He is the sovereign of the universe and yet is personally involved with the individual. He sets the standards for conduct and judges all people by them. He is righteous, holy, and just, but also loving, merciful, and gracious. If a person rejects any of these things, they cannot be a true Christian. A person that believes in any other God or any deistic ideas that God is some impersonal force is not a true Christian by the biblical definition. Also from Acts 24, we know that a true Christian believes that the whole Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets, is true. A person who rejects the Old Testament also rejects the foundation and basis for everything we believe about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and therefore cannot be a true Christian. A person that says the biblical accounts are fictitious stories or that the many prophecies are made up after the fact must also reject Jesus Christ, since Jesus believed those stories to be true and was himself the fulfillment of so many of those prophecies, Luke 24:44. Jesus believed that Jonah was really swallowed by a great fish and was in the fish's belly for 3 days and nights, Matthew 12:40. Jesus believed that Moses wrote the Pentateuch, Matthew 19:8, Mark 7:10, Luke 16:29, John 7:19, and many other passages. Jesus also believed that Moses really led the Israelites out of captivity from Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 years with its many miracles, John 3:14. Jesus freely quoted from the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms as being authoritative. So if you reject the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, as being true, you must also reject Jesus Christ as being true, for he believed in the Hebrew Scriptures. Third, true Christians believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Now this is foundational. In many ways, it is the central belief of Christianity. The Hebrew Scriptures teach that there will be a resurrection, Ezekiel 37, and its fulfillment, or its future fulfillment, is made certain by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Now, belief in the resurrection is critical, as stated in 1 Corinthians 15:16 and 17. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, you are still in your sins. So if there's no resurrection, then there is no hope. Our salvation is dependent on the truth that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Romans 10:9 and 10 states that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. A person that rejects either the resurrection of Jesus Christ or the general resurrection to come cannot be a true Christian. Let me add that though reincarnation has become a popular belief, it and resurrection are mutually exclusive. Either one or the other is true. They cannot both be true, for either a soul will go from one body to a different body, reincarnation, or the body will be resurrected. A person that believes in reincarnation must reject resurrection and thus cannot be a true Christian. Fourth, true Christians believe that Jesus is God in human flesh. That was Jesus' claim. He identified himself as the I Am that existed before Abraham was born, John 8:58. Jesus claimed to have existed with and shared the glory of God the Father before the world was, John 17:5. He accepted Thomas's worship when he claimed Jesus to be my Lord and my God, John 20:28. If a person denies Jesus' deity in any way, then he cannot be a true Christian. They may think Jesus to be a great religious leader, a wonderful ethicist, or a good example. But if they deny that Jesus is also God, then they must also conclude that Jesus was either a liar or a lunatic. If Jesus' claim to be God in human flesh is not true, then either he knew it was not true, and he said it anyway, in which case he'd be a liar, or he was deluded and he believed it to be true, in which case he would be a lunatic. True Christians believe Jesus claimed to be God, which also makes him Lord. Fifth, true Christians believe that Jesus was the Son of God and had no earthly biological father, but was born of the Virgin Mary. Now, there are some that do not think that this is very important, yet it is also critical to a Christian belief. Jesus claimed God to be his Father many times in many ways. Even at 12 years old, he recognized this, Luke 2:49. He calls God my Father at least 31 times in the Gospel accounts. In John 10:36, the Jews are seeking to kill Jesus specifically because Jesus says that he is the Son of God. It was this charge that they brought against Jesus at his trial, saying it was blasphemy, John 19:7. And in Luke 22:70, Jesus states this directly to them. And they all said to him, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "Yes, I am." You can either believe Jesus' claim or not, but if you do not, then do not call yourself a Christian, because you are not a follower of the Jesus Christ revealed in the Scriptures. The virgin birth is also very important theologically. According to Romans 5, our sin nature is inherited from Adam, not Eve. If Jesus had a human father, then he would have also inherited Adam's sin nature and been born a sinner just like the rest of us, and his death, therefore, would not have been to our benefit. Sixth, true Christians believe in Jesus' atonement for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4 states that the important facts of Jesus' atonement are that he died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead on the third day. Jesus himself said he had come to give his life as a ransom for man, Matthew 20, verse 28, and that his blood would be poured out for the forgiveness of sins, Matthew 26, 28. A person who does not believe that Jesus died as the substitute payment for his or her sin cannot be a true Christian. People believe that Jesus did not really die on the cross, or that Jesus' death was a tragic mistake, or a moral example, or anything else other than a substitutionary sacrifice for sin, might be nice folks, but they're not saved. They are not believers in Christ. They are not Christians. Seventh, true Christians believe that they are forgiven for their sins because of God's grace working through their faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for them. They do not believe they are good in themselves, or that they are better than other people, or that they have somehow earned a place in heaven. Jesus said in Luke 24, 46 and 47, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations." Christians believe that salvation comes from faith in Jesus Christ, which is initiated in their repentance when they turn from their sin to the Savior, from self-reliance to trust in Jesus, from self-righteousness to humble faith in Christ's righteousness being imputed, that is, given to them by God's grace. Anyone that is still trying to appease God and earn their own way to heaven by their own good works is not yet a Christian. Eighth, true Christians believe that Jesus is going to return someday and take them to heaven to be with him forever. Jesus said in John 14, 1-3, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Those that place their hope in some sort of eternal existence on this earth will be sadly disappointed, for Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35, that heaven and earth would pass away. 2 Peter 3, 7-12, is explicit in stating that the present heavens and earth will be destroyed by fire and that the elements will melt with intense heat. Those that hope for some sort of annihilation in which they will cease to exist will regret their rejection of what Jesus has taught throughout eternity. Jesus said in Matthew 25 that the wicked would be sent away to eternal punishment and the righteous to eternal life. And ninth, true Christians believe that Jesus is Lord. We looked at Romans 10:9 earlier, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I know that some try to tone down the implications of the statement that Jesus is Lord by saying that this is just a reference to his deity and does not imply submission to his authority. But you cannot get around the fact that if Jesus is Lord in the sense of being God, then he is also master in the sense of the one that rules over us and that we must submit to him. It is really rather silly to argue that people do not have an obligation to submit to the authority of the God that created them, or that a person could somehow be saved without a submission to that authority. We have already seen that true Christians believe that Jesus is God, which in itself implies a submission to him by virtue of who he is. It is simply part of what true Christians believe about the identity of Jesus. Now, this last belief brings up an attitude and way of life that marks all true Christians. True Christians desire to submit to Jesus and seek to follow him. Now, this does not mean they are perfect in doing so, for they will struggle against sin during this life, as pointed out in 1 John 1, but is the direction of their life, as pointed out in the rest of 1 John. Submission to Jesus is the logical response to belief in his identity and position as Lord God. To put it simply, Jesus is Lord. You can only recognize that truth and submit to it. You cannot make him Lord. Jesus is also Savior to those who believe in him. But belief in a Savior who is not Lord is a different Jesus, and therefore one that cannot save. A person who says they believe that Jesus is God and does not desire to also submit to him and follow his commandments has a serious problem. They are either liars, or they have serious confusion about the nature of the God that created them and their own identity as his creatures. It would be the height of arrogance to think that you are wiser than God and that your plan for your life is better than his. While Christians will stumble and fail in their obedience to Jesus, failure to strive to submit to him is direct rebellion against God. Submission to Jesus is also basic to the meaning of being a disciple. For a disciple is one who follows the teachings of another. Consider the commission that Jesus gave the apostles and through them to all true Christians. We are to what? Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. That is Jesus' command to Christians. We are to proclaim the gospel in the effort to make followers of Christ. They, in turn, demonstrate their belief by personal identification with Jesus in baptism and then begin learning what Jesus has commanded so they can obey him. It is quite ludicrous for someone to claim to be a Christian and yet never to identify with him through baptism or to refuse to obey his commandments. Yet there are many that make that very claim. They deceive themselves, and that is a great tragedy. Jesus warned at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:21-23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You do not want to hear that when you stand before God and are judged. You want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So let's summarize. What is a Christian? In simplest terms, a Christian is someone who follows Jesus Christ. They are so identified with Jesus and what he was like that they are called a Christ one, a little Christ. A very fitting title, since Romans 8:29 tells us the very purpose of our salvation is that we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. A true Christian believes certain things. First, in the Creator God of the Old Testament. Second, the Old Testament is true. Third, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and of the future resurrection of the righteous and wicked. Fourth, that Jesus is God in human flesh. Fifth, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he had no human father and was born of the Virgin Mary. Sixth, that Jesus died on the cross as a substitute payment for our sins. Seventh, that God's grace grants forgiveness of sin to those that turn to Jesus and place their faith in him. Eighth, that Jesus will return one day and take us to be heaven with him. And ninth, that Jesus is Lord. There are other things that Christians believe, but I have mentioned these because they're crucial. For unless these are believed, then that person believes in a different Jesus than the one revealed in the Bible, or is striving to earn salvation by their own merits instead of humbly receiving it by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, as Ephesians 2:1-10 explain. A true Christian also has an attitude of submission to Jesus and seeks to obey his commandments. The Apostle Paul states in 2 Corinthians 13:5 that we should test ourselves to see if we are in the faith. Now that is my challenge to you. Examine yourself and what you believe. Are you a true Christian as the Bible would define it? If not, you can be. I invite you to talk with one of our church leaders today. We'd love to introduce you to Jesus Christ so that today you may begin a new life with him. If you already are a true Christian, then rejoice in the work God has already done in your life. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, so you may not waver, and pray and tell other people about him.